Hello, everybody, and welcome to Halfway to 300 with the Top Dad Podcast, a podcast by dads
for dads
about dads. I'm your Top Dad, Matt, joined by my co-host, Top Dad Ken. That's Ken, me. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
That's all I got. I thought it was like a formal open for 150. I don't think I'm allowed to say 150, by the way.
Well, you can.
I could, but it doesn't sound as much fun.
150. I would argue to say 150 maybe sounds more fun.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine.
Because everybody says 150.
Yeah, but I'm having fun saying
50. Is like the equivalent. 150 is like the equivalent of like a fist bump. When 40-year-old white guys are doing it, it is no longer cool. Should be saying things like...
Glad I screwed it up for everybody else now.
Like sus or...
Riz?
It was funny. I was playing golf and I'm walking down my buddies. My one buddy's like 48. It's me, 46 or 43. Good God.
Oh my God. 46.
43. Holy my shit. Other buddy who's like just turned 40. And then Gino who's like 36. So Gino's the young bird. We always ask him for cool stuff. And I had said something about Harrison saying the word sus. And I was like, I don't even know if you used that right. But in all honesty, I don't even really know what it means. So it's fine. And, then Baxter's just like, oh, yeah, totally. He's like, I'd be hanging out with, like, the younger caddies, and if they'd be like, oh, was a waggle dongle, and I'd be like, yeah, dongle that shit. Because, like, you just got to pretend you know what's up, but you really have no idea. And when somebody's like, that's totally sus, and I was like, what? And then they're like, yeah, it's sus. And I was like, I don't know what that means. They're like, suspect. And I was like, why didn't you just say the word suspect?
It's cool.
Is it?
We were sitting there.
Just on a scale of 1 to 10,
yeah.
How cool is the word sus? I'm at like a 1.
Sus is fine.
It's I hate the word sus.
It's not like cool. It's just a short. Sus is the one that bothers you?
It's my Gen Z.
Not Riz?
No, that doesn't bother me as much.
I went through a whole family chat on this the other week, and I sadly knew 5 out of 5 that were brought up to me.
We talked about it like no cap was the thing that we didn't know. I've never used that term in my entire life.
I don't
never
ever
will.
Use. I think cap and no cap are stupid. Where's the sus? Let me find this chat.
Wait, there's
quick.
A reverse cap?
There's no cap.
I understand what no cap
is truth.
You cap say
is a
cap?
Lie. Say cap. Dude, that's cap. It's
that's
a lie.
Fucking terrible.
It's
fucking
a lie.
Kids today.
It's a lie.
I understand my grandparents so much better now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Let's see.
What are you looking up?
Mid.
Mid is what?
Low quality. Sus, stupid. Suspicious, or suspect.
These are top 5 things that
are
stupid
words.
This is
a quiz that came out. I forgot what the 5 words that were
made up.
Quizzed. Fire.
I mean, I use fire.
Drip.
No fucking idea what that means.
Drip is like you got cool fashion. You're of cool or fashionable style. Dude, you got that drip.
Why can't you just say style?
Because that's not what they say anymore.
That's stupid.
Riz, cap, no cap.
No, I'm out on all of those.
And then I wrote, I hate my life, because I knew
I
all
would
of
never.
Them.
I guess I do use 1 out of 5, but I always feel kind of funny saying it.
Oh, yeah.
And fire, I believe, like, is the oldest of those
fire
terms.
Fire is definitely
which is
like,
getting to the borderline of the 150 range.
Yeah,
in
fire
which
is
case,
like,
it's
almost run its course.
Yeah, it's done. It's barely making that list.
Oh, bet.
Bet.
Yo, bet.
Like, use it in a sentence, because yo, bet is not a sentence.
It stands for bet on it. So it's like, hey,
I know
hey,
I own a gambling company.
Hey, you going to the football game after school today? Bet.
Just means like for sure.
It means like you can bet on it. It's stupid.
Yeah, but
it's basically a word
that
for
there's
say
a
yes.
chance that you might not go. So to me, that means is there? Is,
no.
Does that mean
when you say you can bet on it, that means that you should trust that it's going to happen. That's the whole point of that.
By
statement.
Definitive nature, the word bet means that there is a quality in which case you could lose. I understand that Mike Tyson versus Joe Biden, the odds are very small in Joe Biden's factor.
Yes.
Maybe that's a bad analogy.
Yes.
But maybe Mike Tyson falls on the way to the ring, hits his head, and then Joe just gives him a little toe tap.
A little
boom. Joey wins. That could happen.
My mom goes, we didn't have slang in the dark ages, Sean. And I go, man, that is so jive. She's like,
jive's a thing.
Yeah.
So I
guess, anyway.
I guess there was jive in the
70s. I'm like, dude, there's always been terms like rad, bodacious. Like, tubular. It's a fucking dumbass word. It's sweet as hell.
I feel like tubular is more of like a regional term.
Tubular is a Ninja Turtle term.
But it was...
like California, because you're riding the tube?
Maybe they made it more... I will hear that argument that maybe they did do that. Anyways,
like we've all had dumb words.
Welcome to the Old Guy Podcast.
We are old.
I don't find any of my words to be dumb.
No, because we don't really say...
No, I can't
slang?
Think of anything. But then again, it like now it's just common vernacular,
yeah.
Which case we
now
don't think about.
Yes.
But when some kid says to me, yo, boss, that's Riz, and I'm just like,
no, you got the Riz.
Did you say? All right, it's whatever.
Charisma.
I know what that one means.
Oh.
Or if somebody's like, yo, you got drip. And I'm like, oh, did I not zip
did
up?
Or... I wasn't eating ice cream recently.
Oh, did I get something on my shirt?
Yep.
It's like the opposite.
I didn't shake enough times at the urinal.
Anyways.
You got that drip. Actually, the drip was an old term for
I guess parents, the goal of this podcast for the first 5 minutes of 150 episodes in is that you should be more patient with your children's stupid fucking vocabulary.
Ooh. Here's one for you.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody says you got the clap. Well,
I've actually never heard that.
Do you remember back in the day when someone's like, not you have it. Remember back in the day, someone's like, oh, she had the clap or he had the clap or whatever else?
No.
You don't remember the clap?
Uh-uh.
Clap for like STD?
I know what the clap is. I've never had the clap.
I'm not saying you had it specifically. The term. I'm going back for things that people get wrong all the time.
Are you referring to something that you would say?
No. No one said it. The term was.
I'm very confused by this.
That person had the clap or. Were you just saying she has the clap? I'm just saying, no. The term clap.
Start over.
Do you know what clap stands for?
Chlamydia.
No.
Yes, it
gonorrhea.
Does.
Gonorrhea. Whatever. It's not chlamydia.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's why I'm bringing this up as an interesting factoid of the clap is not chlamydia. The clap is gonorrhea.
Oh, the whole point of that.
The whole point of that story is just the fact that a terminology that everybody thinks they know is
avoid
actually.
The clap, Jimmy Dugan.
Yeah.
League
avoid
of their
the
own.
Here you go. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. Perfect. There's a much better use of that
there you
term.
Go. He was referring
chlamydia.
To avoid gonorrhea.
It's gonorrhea, not
avoid
not
chlamydia. Because chlamydia. Yeah. Chlamydia could be very
it
easily taken
sense.
Care of. You just take a little juice.
Well, gonorrhea you can also get rid of pretty easy. Wait, what? Juice?
You drink a little drinky drink. You're done.
Oh, sure. Is that drinky drink antibiotics?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, it's antibiotics. But
you just drink it.
Okay, cool.
It's magical clap juice.
Clap juice. Which is different than clam juice.
Gonorrhea is not permanent, like herpes?
Gonorrhea and chlamydia are very similar in that they're both easily treated sexually transmitted diseases.
I did not know that. I should have dated so many more girls in college that I thought may or may not have
No, you don't
gonorrhea.
Want the burning peepees.
I mean, it happens.
It would hurt.
Again, we have mentioned this before. Is the juice worth the squeeze? It's sometimes that burning peepee could be worth that squeeze.
It depends on who's, yeah.
I'm just saying. It very well could be. You can't just deny the fact and go,
that's true.
But you can't call it that.
This Medical Minute with Top Dad Man.
Oh, boy.
Apparently, we're moving on.
I didn't know that. I thought the clap was...
I thought so, too.
Oh,
welcome
man.
To the
old
world
Jimmy
of
Dugan,
medical school.
Old Jimmy Dugan's a little dirtier than I thought.
Yeah.
There's also so many... I watched that again because I think it's coming off of Netflix soon.
Oh, is it? Oh, no.
I don't know. It keeps popping up in my algorithm. Anyways, I love that movie. It's great.
Fantastic.
And I think it's... It's funny. I think of that as one of my favorite sporting movies of all time, and it's about women playing baseball, which I think is great because, as a father of two daughters, and maybe we'll kind of segue this into the part of the podcast for the day, it's kind of wild that one of my favorite sporting movies is a movie about women's sports. Because if you'd ask me, women's sports, do you want to... And I'd be like, I either feel creepy or I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to watch layups in the WNBA.
No.
Tennis isn't as good. They don't hit it as hard. I guess maybe the playing is the same, but like, it's different. Like, it's very weird that I find that to be the number one, and it's kind of
the number one women's sporting movie you watch.
It's a top fucking five sports movie.
Oh,
I do not throw in the term women.
No, I'm saying of the women's sports that you choose to watch as a movie, baseball is one of them.
Oh, I've never watched another women's sports movie ever. Are there other women's sporting movies?
I'm sure there's got to be.
Yeah,
other.
You can't think of any.
There's Summer Blue.
No.
What's the Blue Summer? Wait.
No, you're out of all of them.
Hold on, wait. No, what's their surfing movie? Blue Crush.
That's
Blue
not
Crush.
A sporting movie.
It's about surfing.
It's a romantic comedy that has a mild amount of surfing in it, which, A, surfing. I do not consider a sport. I'm talking baseball, basketball, football, maybe golf, but that's a fucking third-tier sport.
Little Giants?
There's a girl in that one.
But she's pretty badass.
True, but that's not about women's sports. That's a girl playing in men's sports.
The Serena and women and Venus movie that just came out.
Never seen that.
That just came out.
Lifetime story. That's not a sporting
movie. That was an Oscar Academy nominated story.
It's not a sporting movie, though.
Oh, you want
Tin Cup is a sport movie.
Oh, you want
The Natural is a sport movie.
Sport
I want a
for nothing
sports
else. All right, fine.
Movie.
Yeah, I don't know any others then.
Yeah. So one of my top sport movies of all time, movies about sports, and not like where they're thrown in,
okay.
Like Blue Crush or...
Yes.
Like, I don't consider that Freddie Prinze movie a baseball movie. That is a romantic comedy.
Oh, it's a baseball movie.
It is not a baseball movie.
It's a baseball movie. There's baseball guys doing baseball
it
shit.
It is a they have baseball players in it, but Bull Durham is a baseball movie.
There's
it's
a whole...
only about the... It's
no,
about the game.
No, Susan Sarandon is seducing
different.
Every man on that team to get them
different,
to achieve
though.
Their goals.
Of what? What is the goal?
to get better at baseball.
Yeah, but that's not the goal. Summer catch is the same thing. Girls.
No, summer catch, there's that mom that keeps banging all the kids on the team to get them more excited.
Yeah, she was
the
Susan Sarandon in that movie.
Anyways,
I find it so funny.
Yes,
that
it's a great movie.
It's such an empowering movie for women in general, and I find it to be very good on top of it. Like, that's not even a thing that concerns me. It's great when he does the prayer before the seventh game of the Women's World Series. He's like, Lord, let their feet be fleet and swift and their bats mighty and their balls plentiful, which I find very funny.
Yep.
And then he's like, and thank you for that waitress in South Bend. And then he kind of looks up at this guy and he goes, you remember? She kept calling your name. And I was like, oh my God, this movie's fucking great. I love when there's random little tidbits in a movie that you can show your kids.
Yep.
100% that's a movie you could show kids of pretty much most ages. Like Harrison's 4, I wouldn't consider that a movie I couldn't show him. And then there's like these little adult things in there that they just throw in and it's great.
My favorite
what makes
parts,
a good movie.
My two favorite parts. He's taking
League
that ridiculously long piss in the toilet.
Yep. She times it.
Yep. And then when he throws the glove at the kid's face.
Oh, yeah. Stillwell.
And just beats it and just... And then he, like, does the victory dance and all that.
Every time I watch that scene in the movie, so I try to figure out how they did that with special effects. I think Tom Hanks just threw a fucking mitt at the kid's
100%.
Face.
100%. I think he just got mitted.
Which is pretty great.
All right. Topic of the day, or you got some more side chatter?
Oh, that's cool.
I got sides. I mean, I got...
No.
All right, fine.
Three children.
That's 3 versus 2.
I want to go over the fact that my friends that I just went on a golf trip with this past weekend in St. Louis, when I told them that my wife was pregnant with number 3, who is Harrison, who is now 4 years old.
Yes.
They were all, obviously, the first thing you say when somebody says, my wife is pregnant, we're having another child, is congratulations.
Congratulations.
All babies are miracles.
Yes, they are.
I'm a firm believer in that. I don't care when they happen. I would not want one of my daughters to be 14 to be pregnant, but if it were to happen,
it's a miracle.
The second thing that would cross my mind is all babies are miracles. What did Gary Vee say? He's like one. You being alive is like 1 in a trillion.
Oh yeah,
like the art of
making
of
a human.
Right, it's like 1 in a trillion. It's crazy. So, anyways. I always think about that with time travel because you'd never be able to get the exact same sperm and egg together. It's like your children would never be born, so it's very weird to happen. That's why time travel is very odd, doesn't exist.
Wow.
Yeah, I also watched Indiana Jones and the Flight to and from Memphis. It's pretty good. We'll get to that later. But I want to talk about the 3-kid thing.
Okay.
After I gave them the old wife's pregnant, congratulations, pat back, patting of the back. Man hug.
That's hard to say. Back pat.
I know, it's hard.
All right.
All of the men who had all of the dads, and I think everybody in that group has children. Nobody is a single
solo
it's
dad.
It's all solo man. Everybody in that group has children.
They're all parents.
1 to 3 to 4, whatever it is, they're all parents. Okay. The guys who had 3 were like, 3 is so much. Be prepared. 3 is so much different. Because at this point, when you're having child number 3.
Yeah.
The dad advice changes, right? You don't go from dad advice from other dads where it's like, oh, be prepared for this. Be prepared for the wife. You know, the first one, pregnancy, it's all about like the wife, like how to like make things better for her. Number 2 is like, how do you incorporate a second child into the fact that you now also have a toddler and you got a baby, but you're kind of already aware of what happens
like,
in the baby department.
You know how to raise the newborn.
You're
juggling the two.
Every single father, and I will say this with definitive bet, if I'm using that correctly, no drip.
No drip.
No drip.
Cap.
Oh, no.
No cap.
No, there's zero sus here. Every single father who has a child under the age of 3 months old has woken up in the middle of the night, reached over, and checked to make sure the baby is still alive.
Many times.
I don't know if women do that or mothers. I 100% have woken up in a panic. Now, again, that's baby number 1.
Yep.
Baby number 2. I mean, obviously, I probably checked Quinny like maybe once in her entire life to make sure she was awake.
I'm not even sure I did that.
And it might be.
I don't even
thinking,
know. If
I,
yeah.
Like, I should have done that, but I don't know. You grow as a father. Things change and they're different. And I can say safely is when you get to number 3, there is a big difference in the fact that you cannot get 3 fucking small people to agree on anything. I'm talking ice cream. Let's go get ice cream.
I don't want to get ice cream.
And they can't fucking decide on, I can't get 3 of them to go, yahoo, that's a great idea.
It's fucking ice cream. And you'll get like, I don't want ice cream. I want cake.
I would rather go to Yogurt Peach. Nah, fuck Yogurt Peach. That's yogurt.
Yeah, we're getting ice cream.
I hate yogurt.
I want frozen yogurt.
Yeah. What? Is that a thing? Well, then it's like, I want to go to Baskin Robbins. I want to go to the
Dairy Queen. I want to go to this. Yeah.
Dude, seriously?
Can I just get a cookie?
Like, now, all of this has kind of been brought up by the fact that Matt's brother, who I'm assuming now we can tell people this.
Well, we said it on the last episode, so yeah.
Is pregnant with child number three.
Three.
Which is awesome. Again,
March or something like that.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Miracle. Perfect.
Babies
awesome.
Are miracles.
Not really the plan Not they were plan, going baby. For, but you know what? Life throws you lemons, you make lemonade.
Yep.
Life throws you babies, don't make baby aid. That sounds weird.
Yeah.
Life throws
don't
you
make
a
baby
third
chili.
Baby. Enjoy the experience.
You got it's coming. Yeah. Number three.
Now,
like it or love it.
To go back
here.
To the sports reference. So here's the thing. No. Okay. I don't have,
you have
any knowledge past two children.
Yeah.
I have a dog. I have pets. That is not a third child. That's and by the way, fur babies are not babies. Deal with the people. I don't give a shit what you say.
I love my dog.
Yeah. They're not a human that you have to raise that.
Once you have children, if the house is on fire, the dog is the last person I'm pulling out of that fire.
It better get itself out of there. The kid ain't got fucking any idea how to do that.
Do you want to go on record of what your house on fire list is?
I will in a minute, but before I lose this train of thought.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Two children.
Sports reference.
Man-to-man defense.
Thank you. Man-to-man.
Three children. Zone. Always. Mm-hmm. You don't have everybody covered.
Sometimes it's a three-on-one power play.
Yeah, sometimes if mom's down for the count, you're just like, you're playing safety back there, just trying to get anybody. You're trying to tackle before they get to the end zone. You don't even care how far they get.
I love the sports reference. Two children, you can go man-to-man. Yeah. Mom and dad are on board. There's a lot more time to do so. When you do have to have a parent down, the power play is not as overwhelming. Like, you can still kind of like block doorways. Yeah. You can get around.
I have two
there.
Hands. There's two children, one
just
per hand.
Grab each one of them
or hold a hand, walk across the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Now it's kids holding on to your shorts and pulling them down as you leave Walgreens.
So now what I do right now, because Harrison's such a wild little pain in my ass, we do zombie apocalypse.
Perfect.
When walking through parking lots.
Okay.
Which means Harrison gets out of the car. I scoop him up like in a fireman's carry.
Just grab by the back of the
shirt? No, I left arm grab.
Okay.
And then I go my old wrestling move. Little.
You're going back of the shoulders?
I go underneath the crotch area.
Yeah.
Pick him up so then he's like.
So you got him in like, you got him on the shoulders like you're ready to suplex.
I got him across my shoulders.
Yeah.
Like a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, you sack of potatoed him.
So like.
He's going to do the wrestling spin move if he
correct.
Wants to on top of
and
shoulders.
Then I got him, and then I can hold his leg and his arm in front of me to make sure he doesn't fall. Then I got a hand for Quinny baby, and then Sawyer, she's like, you know, nine. She's much cooler.
Yeah.
She's cool with just hanging out. I'm still the dad that wants them to hold my hand when going across the parking lot.
Logan randomly holds my hand still.
I like it. I think it's good. I want them to do that. Plus, you know, it's girl dads versus, you know, boy dads. Maybe boys are less likely to want to hold their father's hand.
Also, do you really want to hold Harrison's hand after whatever he's just been touching or doing?
A lot more boogers and stuff on there. But I do get him, and then we like to run into the thing screaming and yelling. And one time I did it out of CVS when it was just me and Harrison. I remember what we were getting. But as we were running out, I was like, hurry up, the zombies are coming! And I'm loud, so I just yelled. And then we're pulling up to the car, and the woman next to me rolled down the window, and she was like, you scared the shit out of me. And I was like, I'm really sorry. And she's like, I have a conceal and carry. And I was like, you weren't going to shoot at us, were you? And she was like, I don't know. It crossed my mind for a moment. And I was like, wow, I'd be the first person in history to be shot.
You're not the zombie, though. You're a person.
Right. I'm running away.
Why would you shoot the human? They're your ally against the zombies.
I was running, yell, look out. Maybe she meant she was there to protect me, which would be nice.
I guess.
Possibly.
Maybe your son, who she thought you were absconding with? I don't know.
Maybe she thought I was kidnapping a child.
I have a conceal and carry. Good God.
I was like, wow. That's,
there goes the end of zombies. No, you still play zombies.
Fuck them up.
So,
every day.
My grab and go list.
Okay. Oh, grab and go in the fire. Right.
Like people's?
Of course. You got to rank the people.
Well, thankfully, my children sleep in the same room.
So you think you could do two? You could go two for two.
And go, Lauren, house is on fire. Get out. I grab the kids. And then I yell for the dog, who hopefully is already near a door because she's smart and knows that fire is bad. That's all I got. I got no other plan as far as...
That's the plan?
It's more like I'd give the kids to Lauren, then I'd start rummaging through my articles that I want to bring with me.
All right, let's say we throw... you know what? Yeah, this... I don't know. I always give Lizzie shit.
It's too sad. I know, but this one's like...
Which child would you save first if you had to?
Thankfully, they're next to each other.
Old Kaiser Soze and Unusual Suspects. Choose one.
Not choosing that. Making up both. I would sacrifice myself for both of them.
Yeah, but that's not an option.
No, it is, though, because I'm the one in the fire. It's my fire.
Oh, it's your fire.
It's my house, my fire. I told my wife to get out.
The entire family's in the house. You're just going to yell to get out that there's a fire.
I will tell you that I will help whoever needs to. Mm-hmm. I would expect my wife to be self-sufficient enough to get herself out.
Right. I just would, to be clear.
I wouldn't be like, shoving Lauren in the bed, being like, get up,
I told
get up, the house
that
on fire.
She was the absolute last person on my list.
I would give Lauren a, get up, the house is on fire, and I'd run to the kid's bedroom. They're not in the bedroom next to me. So if I can get out of that bedroom, she can get out of that bedroom. And I have to go alert the other humans that may not be aware. Or maybe their house is on fire. I don't know. Maybe their room is the fire room, and I got to get them out.
Yeah, I wonder where the fire started.
We didn't start the fire.
It's possible.
It was always burning.
Since the world's been turning.
Yeah, we didn't start the fire. Lindsay's your low man?
Yeah.
Low lady?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're an adult. Figure it out yourself.
Right. What do you want me to do?
I'd still help my wife if I needed to, but she can do it.
What?
I can help my wife get out of the house, but I'm going to get the kids first and make sure they're running out before I tend to whatever that is. Love you. Don't hurt me
that's
later.
Just life. I think that's the way it goes.
Speaking of sleeping while fires are going,
oh,
I got my new Sleep Number bed.
Sleeping while
fires. So last week we recorded. Two weeks ago we recorded. Lauren had come back. My back was really hurting.
Sure.
I went to Sleep Number that day.
Right.
I ordered a brand new bed that day.
Nice.
We have the completely split king size bed. It's a split king is the fancy term for
so
it.
It's a half a king.
It's basically a twin XL. It's two twin XLs next to each other, basically.
Oh, no. King size bed's way wider than an XL, two XL, two twins.
That's not what I've been told based on the thing of it. There's twins, there's fulls, there's queens, there's kings.
And
then there's California kings.
Maybe it's because I got that California king.
If you got California kings, they're wider, but they're shorter.
Really?
I believe so. Don't quote me on this. I just work at injuries. Anyway, whatever.
Sooner,
no, I only know that I have two twin XL sheets. That's all I have.
A complete guide to sizes of mattresses.
Yeah, it's a king.
Crib. Small single. Twin XL, which seems to be
it's just
the same
a longer
width.
Twin.
It's just longer. I'm a big fan of the twin XL. I slept
the
twin XL until I was 25.
I don't know what my bunk bed was in college.
Full, which ends up being
like one and a half
slightly
twins.
Shorter than the XL. Mm-hmm. It's the same height as a twin, but wider, 54 inches versus that.
36.
A full XL, which I didn't even know existed.
That's a thing.
I'm looking at them right here. Check this out. Full XL means you get the extra length and the extra width. So it's 80. No, it's a full.
That's a full size with extra length.
With extra length.
Okay.
Yeah, you get an extra 5 inches.
Okay.
And you and I both know an extra 5 inches goes
a lot
of
inches.
Queen is the same size as the
full
XL, slightly wider. It's a 60 inches wide versus 54.
Okay.
Now, apparently, there's also a thing called the Olympic Queen.
How wide is a twin XL?
Is as tall. Twin XL wide is 38.
Okay. How wide is a king?
King is 76.
That would be 238s put together.
But that's a twin XL.
I have a king.
So you get that extra length.
You get the extra length plus the twin width. So I got two twin XLs next to each other, basically. Even though it's a king. It's a split king. So there's a little gap in the middle, which is
weird.
So
a California king is actually narrower.
It's
72 inches.
Oh,
84. You get the extra length.
It's longer? I thought it was
what
wider.
It says. California King here. This is a pretty
is it
fucking,
not sideways?
This is a pretty fucking awesome graphic.
Wow, this Dad's, where's the, is this from Mattress Firm?
I don't know. This was
let me see that one again. Let me see
this was a sponsored link. 72? Somebody went to a lot of time.
Color me shocked. I thought the California King was wider and that it was more chode-like, less pencil-y.
The tallest bed that you can purchase is a California King at 84 inches tall,
woo!
72 inches wide.
Why are people from California
a regular king
taller?
Size bed is 80 inches, which is the kind of standard, which like the twin XL is 80 high. Full XL, 80. Queen, 80. Olympic Queen, which I didn't even know was a thing, also 80. King, 80. They all, obviously, yeah. The different sizes there are the widths.
So
twin XL, full, blah, 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 blah.
We got
it's crazy.
We got the fancy split king.
Okay.
Still adjusting.
Which apparently you're right. 38 times 2 is?
76.
Is double. I'm wrong.
It is, it's taller than the old mattress, so it's just a weird height to get used to, because I've been sleeping on this one for 8 years. So just to be like an extra inch or two, like, taller off the floor.
Oh, height-wise.
Height-wise, it's a little taller. It both head and feet move independently. Yeah, higher rise from the floor.
Right.
Head and feet are moving independently.
The mattress to bed, the mattress to floor ratio.
Yes.
A little higher.
The jump off the bed, a little bit deeper than you were expecting. So you gotta make sure you don't roll the ankle.
All right, like it.
I'm working on getting the new settings, the new adjustments, because my old number is not my number nowadays, it seems like. It's a new mattress, it's new technology, it's all this crap.
Everything's changing.
But apparently it monitors my sleep.
Tells
me how I'm doing,
like how much you're tossing and turning.
Yeah, well, here I'll show you. I'll show you my score from yesterday.
Oh, you get a score?
I got a 74 yesterday.
Oh, wow, that's barely passing.
There's my tossing and turning. How much I was awake and sleeping, and the day before, also a 74. Oh, no, it's the same day. Nope, that's two. What is that? How's that the same? Ooh, a Sunday. Oh, this was a 20 minute. I was just laying down. I wasn't actually napping, but it senses your weight on the bed.
Mm.
And then if you get up in the middle of the night, a little floor light turns on. So you don't trip and stub your toes, which is fun.
Do you like a good floor light?
Yeah. And then it has a mode where like 2 hours in, if you want to go from like sleeping, sitting up or in TV position to laying down, it'll do it for you automatically.
Oh, you mean like it'll just change it?
It'll just change positions.
That's
like 2 hours in.
Crazy.
It has foot heaters. Needless to say, I'm still adjusting. My back is not there yet, and it does feel very weird to be on a twin XL. Like there's something mentally about it that there's like a little gap. It's not like I'm going to fall in it, and I could easily lay in it and it wouldn't be a problem, but it's weird to like have that gap. But you know what? We'll get there.
Here's good housekeeping. They're never wrong.
Good housekeeping.
California
everything.
King is taller and skinnier.
Why are people from California taller and skinnier?
Know.
Fuck you,
know.
California.
Don't know.
All your height and your skinniness. All right, anyway. Back to two children, three children. Two children may or may not fit comfortably in a king-size bed.
Yep.
Three children probably won't.
I sat with all three of them last night in bed.
Harrison, where was your wife?
She was going to get Maggiano's.
See? You can all sit in there if you get rid of the wife.
Yeah, five people in that bed gets a little tight.
Yeah, it's a little tight.
I end up going reversal. I lay down at the foot of the bed, and only my feet are
sticking
out.
Did you go horizontal, or you put the feet by the pillows?
Feet by the pillows.
Okay, so you go flippity-flop.
Flippity-flop.
Okay.
So I don't have to do
Other things. Let's see, just more. You might need to move the minivan earlier than you would with the two-kidder.
You just missed a big red flag right there.
What's that?
Go ahead. What was the first word you just said there?
You might.
After that?
Have to.
Keep going.
Move to the... Oh, might have to move?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Move to the minivan?
I didn't know that's what you said. My bad.
I think I said you might have to move to the minivan earlier.
Oh, it's not a might.
Oh, you will.
It's not even a will. You have no choice.
Well, you cannot, can get the third row SUV.
You cannot.
If your child
Matthew,
is, if there's a big enough gap.
As a father of three, you cannot do that. You have three children.
You can't tell me.
You have officially sold yourself. Sean, if you're listening, you have officially now moved into the world of exclusivity of minivan.
I do love a minivan, though.
I don't. I hate driving that fucking thing.
I don't like driving it. I like the idea behind it, though.
Here's the problem, and this is why. Are there workarounds? Like, could you get a fucking Suburban and go that route? Yeah, you could. But the problem is, how is it that my daughter, who is 8 years old, working on nine, she'll be nine in a month. Like, they can, you know, now they can get into the back seat of the minivan. She can put her own seatbelt on because it's a booster chair. Quinny can get in, put her booster chair on. Harrison, I still got to get the door open. I got to put him in there. I got to buckle him in. I got to unbuckle him. I got to do all that stuff. I can't drive my little Passport, which is a five-person, like, kind of, I wouldn't say a small SUV, but it's not like a full SUV.
Is there not a third row in your Passport?
No. It's just five seats.
Okay.
The Pilot.
The Pilot
is
the third row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it seven-seater?
But it is. But have you ever sat seven people in there? It is not a seven. It is.
It's not for grown-ups to be sitting in the back.
It's not for grown-ups.
No.
And
if
the kids hit like 10th, 4th, 5th, 6th grade, now they are fine climbing back there, no big deal. So like once all of your children are kind of in the end of elementary school, beginning into that middle school era, where you're really kind of out of all kinds of booster seats, you don't need to worry about shit. You just open them up and go in there. Well, your boys are huge, so it's all
my boys
about
are huge. They're both out of booster seats, and it's freaking fantastic.
Right,
I'm just like nothing in the way of me putting those
seats
out. My kids
are not
because
they're not
from Home Depot.
Over, and my wife doesn't want them anywhere near that. And she's kind of like
extra cautious.
Extra cautious, which is fine. I don't find that to be a flaw. It's one of her many idiosyncrasies that I don't mind.
Of note, what you can tell her, especially only for Sawyer at this point, I believe there's a point where booster seats become not great as well, though.
So
seatbelt doesn't
still not even
sit rest.
She's not even 50 pounds yet.
Yeah.
Still.
Okay. She doesn't weigh 50 pounds?
No. They're close. They're all at like, I think we will weigh it with like full clothes on and they'll be like 51.2.
I understand. So Braden's
theoretically,
like
are they close?
Yeah.
Yes. But are they like, yeah, she's not 70
but
pounds.
She's not,
here.
She's not pushing the
no,
limits of it.
She's barely, she's within 5% of 50 pounds.
Braden's 5'2" and weighs 100 pounds. He's the size of
That's
many
huge.
Small women.
That's huge.
He's massive. He's
that you don't
half.
Have to worry about a thing.
No.
Sawyer is.
Except for him hitting
no
me in the
idea
back,
how tall she is. Yeah. And she's like
50 something ish pounds.
55 to 57 pounds. Okay. On a good fat day, she might be 60 pounds.
Extra pancake.
With
day.
Clothes on, with shoes on. They're small
Carrying
people.
Carrying weights.
They're small people.
Okay.
Which is fine. Which is
That's
good.
Fine.
But it is something you have to worry about when you have it. Because I do like the fact now I have convinced Lindsay, I'm like, hey, if I have to pick them up in the passport, I can. Because I can put the two booster seats in for Quinn and Harrison. And Soy can sit in the middle. And like,
so
if
you
I'm
got
going
a little
from,
bit of leniency for the short
you know,
drives.
And it's like, if I'm picking them up from school, yeah, like I'm not going home to get.
No,
to, like it's just
it short
is what
drive.
It is.
Yeah. Deal with it. Dad's driving safe. Work. Everyone's buckled in. The two littlest ones are in their booster seats.
It's fine.
Three children versus two. I will tell you this from a two-child person.
Mm-hmm.
The ability for three people to carpool, a three-child household to carpool, is much more limited than a two-child household.
Elaborate.
So I'm in carpools with other people. They have three kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I can bring one extra child in the car.
Oh, right.
And you're like, one extra child ain't doing me shit when we're trying to do a four-person carpool. Like, correct. I'm like, fuck it, throw three kids in the back. If I really need to, I'll throw Braden up front because he's big enough. And I'm like, right. I'll get a fourth kid in there. Like, I am much more of a bus than someone that has small children. A, because they're in booster seats, which
right
sometimes take up a seat and a half, depending on how wide
100%.
They are. You can't get, like, unless you got skinny ass, you can't really get in there.
And again, me saying that I can fit three kids in that back seat,
only because,
it's extremely uncomfortable.
Oh, it's like, she's not going anywhere because she's sardined in that seat.
And
with
again,
the
it's because she's small and she can wiggle in there and she thinks it's fun because she's like not sitting with the booster seat.
It's like, woohoo!
It's still kitschy at this point.
Yeah,
like, it's still
fun and cool. It's like riding in the back of the pickup.
Right.
In the back seat, that back seat of my car, while I have it, and I can technically fit seven people in my car, it's very tight and it's really just for small people's legs. But kids love sitting back there. Thinking like, oh, I'm further away from the adults, or I'll flick this guy
stupid
in the back
kids.
Of the head, or dumb shit. So, yes, the ability to carpool with that is limited. If you have the minivan, you can at least get two additional children in that carpool. And carpooling with two other families for three total children is a big deal, because then someone's getting a day off.
Right.
If you can do three families, you can get a day off, which means eventually you get a day off on the driving.
That's true.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Big deal. Carpooling is great once you get to a
I have not
age.
Experienced the carpooling yet.
It's so good. It's
yeah.
It's like, imagine the, you're not going far, and I know you like being there and watching your kid, but eventually you will reach a tipping point where you're like, I don't have to do this anymore. I'm like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
It took a big mental hurdle for me to like get over not being at every practice or driving to the practice or else. And then once I did it once, I go, oh shit, I can like go grocery shop for an hour or make dinner without having to rush around. It's kind of nice.
It's time. It's nice to have breaks every once in a while.
There was the other statement of you might have to move, which sometimes when you're planning for two kids and you got four bedrooms, all right, cool. Everybody's got a guest room or an office, especially now with people working from home.
Oh, yeah.
You got the office. So my brother's in that situation where they're like, oh, we're going to have two kids. We're all set.
Right.
He's got his office upstairs. Now he's like, I'm losing my office.
Yep.
Which means I'm going to go in the basement and I lose my ability to do whatever else I got to do.
Right.
So
now you're a basement worker.
Now you're a basement worker.
Might as well work
you don't have a guest room.
Factory. Yeah. I am a big proponent of I hate guest rooms.
You don't like guest rooms?
I don't like guests.
Well, like, but here's the thing. My in-laws live in Arizona.
Like, I don't want people to stay at the house. I like my own time. I don't want to do it. I'm also not, I have never stayed in a guest room. I don't stay in guest rooms. I don't request guest rooms. I like a hotel. I like a home base. I like a break. Any vacation I go on, I like a separate area that is just my area for my meditation to go, this is my space.
But you have
my friend is Tom.
I will tell you
and
this.
I am going to stay here by myself. I know you, we are
I will say,
different
on
this.
There's a different as far as like if your or Lindsay's parents lived out
absolutely
of state.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You wouldn't stay in
absolutely
their house?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's kind of the whole point of going there, though.
No,
hang
it's
out.
Not.
Don't get wrong. There's points that I'm like, there's a lot of people in this household that's starting to get overwhelmed.
I don't have to worry about that because both of them live here. But like my mom lives an hour and 10 minutes away, which maybe borderline some people don't want to go there. It is a pain in the ass to drive there. But I would not want to stay at my mom's house with the children and hang out. To me, that's just not something I want. I don't want to do that. That's not me. I love my mother.
We literally go to Arizona just to see my
drop
in-laws,
my mom off. Yeah.
They also live in a retirement community. Like, I don't want to have to get a rental car. I don't want to have to deal with anything else. They have a pool in their backyard. I wake up. They're making breakfast. They entertain the kids. Lauren and I can drive out and do stuff. Like,
I see the benefits in it.
I also understand
there's a lot of negatives.
And I
think you're ignoring the negatives, I can't forget about them.
I don't ignore them. I try to deal with them for as long as possible before I get overwhelmed, and then I go take a walk. To be honest, other people in your household are fine for the most part. And I know I'm the same when I'm in somebody else's household too. Everyone has their own little nuances.
I can't get comfortable. Like, I feel like it's an intrusion. I don't like it. And it's the flip side for me as the homeowner that I don't want to have those feelings. Or I'm like, I'm going out of my way to make sure that somebody else goes. And then I'm like, well, this is my house. Why am I doing that? I feel like I can't get comfortable if I stay at somebody else's home.
You don't like the tiptoeing around
I don't do that.
I'm very bad
at the unspokens.
I don't like...
Meaning like, doing... I can't move this tomato juice? Or that's for Mikey's fucking lunch tomorrow? Like, no, if it's in the refrigerator and I'm a guest in your home, I feel like it's all fair in love and war and guest staying.
And guest refrigerators.
But at some point, you know...
No, there's definitely an etiquette.
However, the nice thing
nuances.
Is, I have three children. I don't have to fucking worry about that.
Yeah,
because I don't have space for a guest.
Because you don't have space for a guest house. And on top of that, if you go somewhere, it would be very hard to bunk three children in one room.
That's the other issue.
So that's
we can't do it because of the fact that my children need and me need space. Like for the five of us to stay in one room, and we had that hotel in New York.
Yeah, it's,
which was great. It was a very cool.
But you had like the ensuite, like you had a separate.
We had an ensuite.
Yeah,
it was a great deal, and it was a fairly large room. And living in that 700 square foot mini apartment, which don't get me wrong,
it's
pretty fucking cool. That included still all of them sleeping in the same room in like a pullout, and then like a chaise that kind of was together, and they had fun. You know, two nights, three nights, they can get through that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It's harder to do so. Restaurants are a little bit harder.
So table for four versus table for five. I think 4 to 5 is that cutoff of like you can fit around a square table. It's
correct. Four,
five.
Is much
someone's
easier.
Either getting the corner
five,
or you're getting
the bigger
a circle.
Tables. Yeah.
So five that airfare and air travel.
Well, air travel
is like,
in general because now you got to split it off.
Now you're splitting
three and two.
Three and two. To be honest, we go depends on where you are, but to be honest, most of us one parent's getting the break. Rather than still getting a kid.
With you.
With us. Because we got like, we'll do 3 and 1. Or sometimes we'll do 2 and 2. Which, to be honest, that's the other thing. When you have one kid by themselves, and now I can have each kid by themselves, they're a whole different person. Like, if you're just with Sawyer versus Sawyer and Quinn and Harrison, I guarantee Sawyer probably, like, different interaction.
Sure.
They come out of their shell. They
you
talk more.
More.
You know, like, a little bit more personalities coming through. They're not hiding. They're not fighting. Whatever else. So there's a little bit easier time pairing off with that. Now, the one thing is that yours, if someone's pissed off and needs moodiness, the other two always still have a friend. I don't have that benefit.
Right.
My kids, if one's pissed off, they're both just solos.
Right.
So there's pros and cons of both.
Yeah.
The dining is one. What's the other thing that normally comes in fours? And like movie tickets or like Broadway tickets and stuff like
just
that. Like
tickets in general.
Sports tickets. Like you get like, four seats together. Like, okay.
Five's a little bit harder.
Yeah. But there's pros of the fives.
You're an odd number.
Yeah.
So it's always 2-on-1. So your benefit of saying it's nice that there is a 2-on-1, there's always a 2-on-1.
There's always a 2-on-1, which has,
always
its, 2-on-1. Has its pros, has its cons.
Yeah.
But
I can't
like
seeing any pros as the constant 2-for-1. But
yeah. I kind of like the fact that you always have like a buddy.
Yeah.
Like if Quinn's having a bad day, Sawyer and Harrison can play. If Harrison's having a bad day, Sawyer and Quinn can play. If they're all having bad days, well, fuck it. Then everybody's just on their own day.
Man, is that an ideal world? It's normally three of them arguing about whose seat is what. I had that blanket first. Nobody wants to talk to Harrison. Harrison's being annoying. The girls get along a lot. Normally, it's the girls versus Harrison. So it's a lot of girls versus boys stuff, which is okay. But it is also kind of fun,
though. Older siblings, too. Like,
it is nice. The Nintendos have gotten better in the world where now you can do like 5-player. But if you ever try to play 5-player on a Nintendo screen,
lot,
like, it's
lot of
a
people
lot.
On one TV.
Mario Kart's only 4-player. You got to
that's
so
true.
One.
You,
but
you know
see, but that's where it comes into the benefit as the mom or dad.
Someone gets a breather.
I go, that's cool. I'll sit and watch.
Yeah.
I'll referee. And then I can just like zonk out and I get maybe four races.
Maybe take about five little naps.
There's a lot of bouncing and jumping around in my house.
Screaming randomly.
Correct. So napping's probably not going to happen, but I do get to kind of zone for a second and just like, I'm watching.
It's dad meditation right there.
Right. But I'm sleeping with my eyes
open. Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So that's good.
Lights on, no one's home.
But you're right. I mean, and again, all children are great. My mom always said to me, her two really good pieces of advice was, one, you're never going to be ready, so just fucking do it.
Yep.
It's exactly what she said. My mom does not swear all that
Rip
often.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
When I was just like, I don't know if I'm ready to have kids. And she was like, you're never going to be ready. Just fucking do it.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yep. And then once you're there, you're like, oh, I was not
Lindsay,
bad.
Let's go to the guest room. And then...
that's one more reason not to have a guest room.
The other thing that my mom told me was that children should be in pairs, in the sense of you should have an even number of children. That was just one of her thoughts. She was like,
but then you'd have to go
like,
from three to four. And
she's like, my only regret is that she's like, I feel like three is a harder number, that like once you get past two, you should go from two to four. Three is a tough
one. Don't
get me wrong. I got a whole extra third of college to pay for. I got a whole extra third. Now, the other problem is when you go to four children's, which is wild and crazy.
I don't know why.
You have to do, now you can't get a four-bedroom house. You're going to like
you don't
five-bedroom
get a
houses.
Five-bedroom house.
Dude, that's just like, fucking bananas.
Oh, your price range is a whole separate, expensive. Yeah. You're like, I hope there's a basement bedroom that my one daughter can
right.
sleep in.
I make
in, like,
a pretty good living, and I was looking at five-bedroom houses.
Nope.
That ain't a fucking thing.
No.
I ain't affording those.
Those are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways. So, yeah, fours. But the other thing is, like, when you have three kids, like, if you have two kids, cool, you got two kids. If you got three kids, all right, you got three kids. Maybe a little, you got the minivan. Four kids, though, people know when you're coming over.
Yeah.
People know when you're there because you are unloading a clown car of humans every time you arrive somewhere. And now you're the family with four. And God bless you if you want to do it. Like, have at it. It's your world, your life. Make as many babies as you want. That being said, you are now a show when you arrive.
Shit show.
Literally a shit show at all times.
Yeah, it's hard.
You might actually have shit on
you
somewhere, too.
And those wonderful parents who have one child. Oh, I'm an only child. That's not even having fucking kids.
That's not a kid. You were stressed for 3 months of your life.
You're
that's
like a part-time parent.
You don't even have to deal with the interaction.
Part-time parenting with a fucking one child.
Oh, Billy doesn't like that.
Who gives a fuck what Billy
likes? Deal with it. Eat a mushroom, Billy. Billy doesn't eat peanuts.
What?
Sorry.
Eat a peanut, Billy.
Billy doesn't eat macaroni and cheese.
Okay,
why? Because you don't give it to him? You.
I will
fascist.
Say your tolerance for that kind of things, and I'm very much the opposite. I talk a big game, but my tolerance is better in the fact where I'm like when you get to three kids,
yeah,
and it's a multiplier. One kid, that's a huge thing. Yeah. Oh, we make every meal to order, and I make fucking my homemade baby food.
Fuck you.
Then you get two, and then it's like, well, now I got two of them.
Yeah,
I don't have time to do this.
No,
and it's you know. Now I'm splitting my time 50-50. It's going.
Yeah.
Now you go to three kids. Now I'm splitting my time 33-33-33. Yeah. Like, that's not a lot of time for dad left. It gets a lot less. You go to four?
Done. One is a helicopter parent.
Yeah.
Two, normal parent. Three, more relaxed parent. Crazier stuff going on.
More relaxed.
Your patience here's a benefit. Your patience with three children is more than my patience with two children.
Absolutely.
I don't have as much patience as you.
I'm always
because I don't
one of
have to.
Always aggravated.
Yeah, I don't have to.
Yeah.
Like I'm sitting there policing. Here's the other thing: when I have three kids, I can just focus on the one that's like behaving and being nice, and
sure.
just ignore the two asshats. With two kids, there's only asshats.
Right.
Maybe they're either both nice, which is rare.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're
it's
just
a coin flip.
Do you guys have the cheese touch in your house? Do you know what the fuck that is?
Cheese touch.
Cheese touch. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it means. They're doing it around the neighborhood right now. Kids, it's basically like saying tag. You're it.
Oh, nice.
But you just poke and be like, cheese touch.
Oh.
They just walk up, they call it the cheese
like,
touch. It's like you kind of like that.
The circle game?
It's not on your body, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
But cheese touch. You're just walking up, touch, you're like, cheese touch. And then whoever gets touched last has the cheese touch. And they're like, oh, you have the cheese touch.
It's like a thing.
I don't get it.
Do they like run around?
Brayden
then,
and Logan are just fucking touching each other nonstop,
oh,
back
nice.
And forth. And it sets Brayden off because Brayden has this, like, he got it from his mom. Lauren has a thing where she can't be the last one touched. In life. This is before the cheese touch ever happened. Like, she needs to make the last contact with you.
Oh.
If you say goodbye and you give her a hug, she'll, like, pat you on the back or do something.
I thought you were going to go with a sensory issue, but this is more of an OCD issue.
It's like an OCD. This is, like, her little tick.
I have both,
she
so
got
it's
that,
fine.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
I freaked out at breakfast yesterday with my wife. Because the people next to us were talking just way too fucking loud.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I'm overloading here.
Oh, I'm...
And I kind of said it so loud that they stopped, and then they kind of slowed down, which worked.
Okay.
I avoided conflict.
It wasn't necessarily your tactic, but it was... It worked.
I was like a subconscious thing. Like, okay. I'm willing to, like... But, like, my inner demon wants to, like, yell and scream, and it didn't, but... Anyways, so, when their food came out, I was very complimentary. I was like, "Oh, your food looks great." Thanks,
oh, you warmed so up. I tried to mend the relationship.
Make it seem like I wasn't talking about them, but I had that overload. So
Braden gets the same thing from Lauren. Because here's the thing: I think everybody in this world has some weird OCDs and some little tics. Like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, whatever else. Lauren's was touching, that sort of thing. So Braden has that. So Logan now knows Braden has that.
He fucks with
him. And he touches him. He fucks him with him. And I'm like, quit annoying your... And then Braden's freaking out. And I'm like, stop touching. He's like, I have to touch him last. And I'm like, no, you don't. And he's like, right. But I have to. And I'm like, right. I'm not going to deal with these. We're going to deal with these self-medicating touch issues, whatever. Lauren has misophonia.
Misophonia.
She doesn't like certain noises.
Is that when you're into pregnant girls?
Yeah. Oh. No, that's misohornia. Misophonia. Is where
it's funny.
It was really funny.
It's so good. That's misophonia.
Misophonia.
Oh yeah. You're right.
Misophonia is where you can't stand certain noises. The kids, she used to be immune to their noises. Like, they'd be sitting there sucking on whatever applesauce, like, and she's fine with it. Me, any noise I make when I'm chewing food, and I'm a polite eater. I chew with my mouth closed.
She's a rude eater. So yeah.
I'm a polite eater. I know it. My mom taught me well. Chew with my mouth closed, whatever else. She had dinner at my family house once early when we were dating. We had soup in the household.
Oof.
Everyone's sitting there slurping their soup. She almost fucking lost it. I think we could have gotten, maybe we almost broke up.
I'm sitting there eating.
She's like, I can't stand your mouth noise. I go, I'm fucking hungry and eating my dinner. Leave me alone. Go somewhere else. Like,
in the friendship of Matt and Lauren, Ken and Lindsay.
Yes.
It is very much true that... Lauren and I are extremely similar.
Yes.
And we have a lot of the same, I don't want to call them issues.
Quirks.
Quirks. That I 100% do that. And I literally want to fucking gouge my eyes out or jam forks in my ears.
Yes.
And it's just somebody chewing. And it's like nothing out of the ordinary. It's just, I maybe you focus on it or something. And I'm just like,
it's like fingers on a chalkboard.
Yes.
It's that same reaction.
Yes.
You have no control. It's not like you're doing it purposely. No. You have no control over it, and it bothers the shit out of you.
Yep.
So she has that same thing with mouth noises.
Yep.
Dog licking herself. Can't stand that fucking noise.
That's just gross, but also
it is gross, but she can't stand that noise.
The food thing gets me. I've never watched dogs lick themselves, so.
It's the noise. So we'll be laying in bed at night, and Viola will be on the floor.
Oh, nice.
And she'll hear it. She's like, oh, my God, stop it. So here's the problem. After 11 years of marriage now, the mouth noises from eating don't bother me. The licking... I know it bothers Lauren, so I get defensive, and now it starts to bother me. The other one that bothers Lauren is the dog barking, which I'm like, dogs bark. I had a beagle growing up. She fucking howled at everything. Yeah. I didn't give a shit.
I don't like dogs barking either.
I don't either, but like now I'm extra aggressive about the dog barking. I'm like, Violet, stop barking. Or like, if she's outside, she just goes and she barks. She's a lab. She barks at every...
That's probably annoying as well.
It's super
annoying. Your helping is also annoying.
Oh, it's not helping anything. Right. But I feel bad because she'll go outside and like bark at 10 p.m. I'm like, dude, there's people sleeping now. You can't be barking outside. But she barks at every dog bark from a mile away.
Right.
Squirrels, people walking by. She's the friendliest dog in the world. But she's got a lab bark that's just deep and guttural.
Yep.
So anyway.
Just dog barking.
Yeah.
Also, people who get more than multiple dogs are just crazy. Multiple children, fine. Multiple dogs.
I can see the two.
No.
I don't need a fucking friend. I get that.
No, that's not
fine.
What, do you live on a fucking farm? Unless you live on a farm, you don't need multiple animals.
I'll give you that. If you got a farm, have whatever you want.
You live in the suburbs, you get one pet.
What if you get...
Nope.
What if they're brother and sister at birth?
Nope. Every dog has born with a brother and sister at birth.
What if... Yeah, there are like six of them, seven of them.
There's never a litter that only one survives.
I don't actually want two dogs.
No.
But I can see them entertaining each other.
I love dogs. Yeah. No. You know what they do? They fucking growl each other. It's like multiple children is what happens.
You're just multiplying the children.
They just destroy more shit.
Two children.
Twice as much shit gets destroyed.
Two dogs equal one child when you already have two children. It goes from three, or if you go for three, you go to four.
Right. The multiple.
The dog rounds up.
This is great, Matthew.
There you go. Perfect.
It's just like this. The line in the sand between multipliers of children is two to three. It's a huge change. Nobody thinks it's going to be different. It's a ginormous change. You go from one dog to two dogs, that's where the line is.
Also,
it's
for
the
those
crazy
of you,
change of like now they're like doing double destruction. There's double things going on. One takes a dump in the carpet, which all dogs do occasionally.
It's fine.
Then the other one runs through it.
Yeah, rolls in it.
I mean, it's just like, are you fucking kidding me?
I will tell you that, note, for those listening that don't have children, good for you, first off, for listening to the Top Dad podcast. Secondly, two dogs does not equate one child. If you don't have any children,
right?
You cannot tell me, "Oh, I got my second fur baby. Now I know what it's like to be a parent."
Man,
fuck
you are
you,
really
you
onto this fur baby thing. Fur babies don't bother me.
Fuck people with their fur babies.
I mean, I don't empathize with anybody, so maybe that's just I don't. No, those things don't bother me.
They don't
me
bother you because it's like
because I have zero empathy in general. Yeah, however,
don't get wrong. A puppy is a pain in the ass,
right?
And when Violet got
apparently
her period before she got fixed, that was a pain in my ass, too.
That must be your misohornia.
Misohornia is getting triggered by the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound right.
Nah, boy, howdy, does it ever.
Keep that on the air.
So if you have one child or two children or threes, or if you're one of those few lucky people who have multiples of four, good God. God bless you. Congratulations on having a working penis and vagina in your family.
Or really good adoption.
You're really good at playing leapfrog, or maybe you're not. I don't know which one it is.
Ooh, yeah, maybe you're horrible.
You know, try the pull-out method occasionally. That's probably something you should do. Other than that, I think all children are great, and eventually, you know, I know it's weird, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but we are a parenting podcast, so I think most people who listen to us have parents, or at least are going to have...
Have children.
We all have parents. Sorry, back that up.
Ooh, nicely done.
Everybody who listens to this podcast has children or wants to have children at some point in the future, I would think. You know, I don't see the point in life if you don't have kids.
I don't. You're born on this earth, and you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to have all these
children. And there are people
you know
who can't have children, and I understand that, but I think they realize that. I think that passing on to children, you know, I feel like people who can't have kids, and then they have, like, nieces and nephews, like, they're the coolest aunts and uncles that are out there.
Oh, by far, because they all that doting energy is
correct
reapplied.
And it, which is awesome.
That one I'll give you.
But, you know, I think when people are just like, not, like, my buddy Baxter is just selfish. He's like, fuck it, I don't want kids. And I'm just like... You have no desire to have, like, ever? And he's like, no, never. Way too selfish. And I was like, kudos for realizing it. But on the same token, I'm like, is it cool as fuck when you're in your 40s and you got money and you can do whatever you want? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's maybe cool in your 50s when you're still doing shit and you're probably too old to be going on these cruises? Yeah, probably.
How about when you're 70 and you don't have any grandkids?
What are you
going
to do when you're 70 and, like, who's going to take care of you?
Yeah.
The other day I was wiping Harrison's butt because I still do that. He's four.
He
yells
needs some
in
help
the bathroom.
Sometimes it gets itchy.
The guy poops like four times a day.
Hey,
he's
good
like
for
Cocker Spaniel. Hey. It's got great gastro.
Nice BM movements there. Nice regularity.
But he's like, Dad, BMs. You got to help me wipe. And I was like, cool. So I wiped. It was a messy one. So we're wiping with the wet wipes. So
yeah, you
got to
get that
him,
wet wipe
right?
in there on those
I
guys.
Get him down. He's got to like get down to like me to like get in there. Anyways.
Does he do the old like... Logan used to do the thing where he put his hands and feet on the ground, just stick his ass in the air, and you got to wipe.
Oh,
that
no,
way.
we do the lay down. I'm like, you got to lay down, bro. I'm not doing this. I
Logan
can hold
would
the
just
feet
like
up.
Present it.
Can't
like,
do it. No,
like
can't
a proud
do that.
Child. Just
but I said to him, and this is full circle. I was like, you know, at some point in life, you're gonna have to wipe my ass. I hope that happens. I hope I live to be 90 years old, and that fucker's got to like you got to wipe my ass. And that's life. And to me, that's what life is about. And I think it's great. And we both have fathers and children. Both have children. And I think it's important. A big part of my life now is just being a dad. And it's weird sometimes to think about that and be like, oh, I have like I'm a dad. Like they like these.
The majority of my
life forces count on me for everything.
The majority of my identity now is being a father.
Correct.
A husband, a father. All my friends are
you
also
are
fathers that are there. Like it's just who you are.
I'm like 95 dad, 5 husband.
And I'm like 94 dad, 5 husband, 1 me.
Oh, yeah, you got.
I'm taking 1% for me still.
I got none of that.
Yeah, you lost that with the third kid. He sucked that last 1% out of you. That's
I was also at 94.
Third children,
5-1.
You actually lose all of your own identity. you're like, oh, I'm only a father now. I don't have any individuality. I'm just a father.
There's a third more of. Practices and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and sporting events and teacher parent conferences and
we have our first travel basketball practice tonight.
That's amazing. Well, thank you for listening to the 150th episode of the Top Dad Podcast, a podcast about parenting and all the things that you need to know about. Plus, you get to learn great medical tips like misohornia
and the clap.
I did not know that.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
So, from Top Dads, from us to you, avoid the clap.
We love you.
Bye.